You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The Giants, you have Daniel Jones, who I like, but can they count on him long-term, short-term, coming off injury? Obviously, the offensive line's going to be better, and you had Malik Nabers at six.
Going to take a shot to the end zone, and Nabers comes up with it.
Then you go up and get Bo Nix, and I think for Brian Daboll, it would be his guy.
Here's Nix on the move and launching downfield. Franklin's got it!
And it would be Daboll and the GM guy, which is what the NFL is all about.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, the big 7 o'clock hour. Today's 7 o'clock hour, it's bigger than it normally is because we, in the leadoff spot, now batting number one, Mel Kiper Jr. Good morning, Mel. How are you?
I thought you were going to say Gunnar Henderson, but I'm okay with that.
You know what? You want to talk a little baseball with us? You're a big Orioles fan, aren't you?
No, you would lose a lot of listeners, believe me.
No. I think you bring listeners to the table no matter what you discuss. So you've upset me. Not that you've done anything, but I personally, I want your take on it and how realistic it is the Giants would go ahead and do this. In your latest mock, you have the Giants moving up to 33, first pick of round two, and taking a guy that I'm certainly no scout, but just in watching him, I don't love Bo Nix. So do you believe there's real credence the Giants could potentially take him? And what are your thoughts on Bo Nix, the quarterback?
Well, yeah, just to say going back, I mean, I heard people say, I don't know how Drew Brees is going to make it in the NFL at 6'5" with a mediocre arm. And playing for Joe Tiller kind of made him at Purdue, and I heard all those things. I'm not saying it's going to be Brees because I hate comps, but that's what I was hearing about Drew Brees. That's why he was the first pick in the second round. And the bottom line is, Bo is a kid who I'm with you. I have him at 35. On the board. So, to me, to trade up for a guy, you got 35, you go to 33, but what do you keep hearing? What's the word? That the Giants are going to look at a quarterback? Well, if you're going to look at a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. has had injuries. Are you going to go that route with Daniel Jones being bothered by injuries, or are you going to take Bo Nix, who's sturdy, 24 years of age, great processor? To me, I don't know what they're going to do, but somebody's going to be aggressive and go up and get Penix and Nix if they slide into the second round. There's the debate even whether they should be first rounder. So I'm thinking Denver at 12. That's why I had him going a couple weeks ago, and I was told, hey, there's no way. He's a second rounder. That's for my guys in the league that I talk to. I don't talk to everybody. I have a couple friends that I trust, and they said put him in a second round. So the bottom line is, guys, I did it for the Giants, did it for the Rams, could have done it for a couple other teams. Unfortunately, Denver, who I wanted to do it for, they don't have a second round pick. So how the hell am I going to give them a guy to move up to get when they'll have a second-round pick in this draft? They only have the 12th pick, and the 12th pick I thought was too high for Denver. That's why Denver didn't end up with Bo Nix. When I thought, if you give him a 12, why didn't you give him to him? Well, they don't have a second-round pick.
Mel, is it only that Michael Penix has the injury history that puts him in the second round?
Well, that and the fact he's not a great off-platform thrower, even though he tested out great athletically. You don't see that when he is pressured. He has to move. So, again, he needs a clean pocket to be really accurate. His accuracy wanes a little bit when he's off-platform. So I think it's a combination of different things, but certainly the shoulder and knees, four injuries at Indiana is one of the reasons why he could drop into the late first, early second. And just to go back on Denver, I think, is a team that could trade off a 12 if they don't love, say, a Quinyon Mitchell, move down, and then they let Philadelphia go up and get the corner and then end up with a couple second-round picks and then be able to package something to go up and get Nix or have him signed. So Denver could still end up creatively with him, but, I can't go all that nonsense in a two-round mock. But, in terms of where we are right now with the quarterbacks, guys, could Penix be a one? Yes, he could. Could he drop into the early second? Sure, he could. So there's fluidity with both Nix and Penix Jr., which makes him very difficult to project.
So are we living in a world where we could have six quarterbacks taken in round one? Is that realistic or is that kind of unrealistic?
I'd say that to me, I'd bet against that. Based on what I'm hearing, and what you do with this stuff, guys, you talk to your friends in the league and you get their opinions. It's not based on ratings. This is not based on Kuiper's ratings or anybody's ratings when you do a mock draft. This is based on what you're hearing. So it has nothing to do with where I have a guy rated. So this is based on just you trying to build a consensus if you can. And a lot of these players, you can't build a consensus on. It's impossible. I mean, you get all. I have him as a fourth rounder. I have him as a second rounder. I have him as a first. I have him as a third. So everybody's kind of all over the place on a lot of these guys. So trying to do that, your head's spinning if you talk to five, six guys about players. So you got to just put it all together, use some common sense, and just put players in a range that you think they can go. These teams aren't taking a lot of these guys. I mean, you can do a two-round mock. How many of those guys are going to take guys we have? Unless you're a psychic, not many. But you're putting them in a range. This guy could go here. If the Giants fans don't like Bo Nix, then look at the guys that are going in the same general area where they were picking. So it gives them an idea when they're trying to figure it out for themselves. That's what we try to do. When I did the draft, where I tried to provide as much information as possible to let fans kind of make their own call. Based on everything this kid's done since high school all the way through college.
Mel, I will tell you that I was listening to Brandon Bean do an interview, and he mentioned he does look at your mock to kind of get an idea. Now, it's not going to be, you know, every pick is right, but get an idea of what other teams may potentially do when formulating his board.
Right, they do that. I know they do that. That's to get an idea of the range. Again, it's not with teams. It's a range of where guys will go. It's not about the team taking a player. It's, Kuiper, this one all has this player going in the first round. Like, when I had Roger Rosengarten, it kind of woke people up. Why does Kuiper have Roger Rosengarten in the first round when nobody even has him in the first or second round? So, again, guys like that, TJ Tampa from Iowa State, the corner, when you put names out, I don't just throw them out there for no reason. If I hear something, if I feel something, I do it. It goes against the grain. It's kind of a Burt Blylevin curveball is what I always call those types of moves. Todd McShay would say it's a Kuiper stunt. Bottom line is it wakes people up. It shakes the board up a little bit. It shakes everybody up a little bit, which is what you want to do this time of year.
Mel, any chance one of those top, we'll call it four quarterbacks, slips at all or slides?
No, it slips a little bit or slides? I don't think so, no. I mean, I don't know how far you could say slide. Could one of them slide out of the top six? This time last year I was telling you Will Levis would be a top five pick. He went in the second round. How'd that turn out? Pretty good for Tennessee, but at the time I looked like an idiot, right? So, again, that's what I could say. If you'd have projected Brock Purdy in the second round, you look like an idiot on draft day. You're pretty tag on good right now, right? So sometimes you really can't worry about where they go and all things like that. But if one of those four quarterbacks slid out of the top group, I would be very surprised.
All right, so in the latest mock that you put out, and you can see it on ESPN.com right now, you have the Giants moving up, Bo Nix, 33rd, top pick of the second round. Are you now of the mindset, because you've been pretty adamant that you think Daniel Jones is still capable, competent quarterback and can be pretty good in this league, but from what you're hearing, are you of the mindset the Giants will take a quarterback in this draft 2 weeks from today?
It seems like it, but I personally get it. I like Daniel Jones, and I always have. You guys know that. You got to give guys some help. That's why I always said taking a quarterback at six, well, you're hanging Daniel Jones out to dry. You're basically doing what the New England Patriots did to Mac Jones. I guess the Joneses just can't do very good here. Mac Jones got no help. You're not going to get Daniel Jones any help. So that's why Mac Jones is gone after having an outstanding rookie year where he led him to the playoffs and everything looked rosy there, right? Not anymore. You can't let your quarterback. They did it with David Carr Houston. You can't forget about your quarterback, guys. They're not Superman. So these teams want to blame the quarterback and cut the quarterback, move on from the quarterback. Everybody wants to rip the quarterback. Quarterbacks only be as good as the players around them. So if you're going to put an offensive line that can't protect, they're all late blocking, you can't have the big time receiver. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2018. They haven't had any pass plays, explosive pass plays since Daniel Jones came in. Why? Because they don't have any receivers that can be explosive. So that's why I gave them the most explosive receiver in this draft, which is Malik Nabers.
Mel, how much do you buy into? I was reading a report yesterday that the reason why a lot of people assume the Jets will take Bowers, I've seen draft just an offensive weapon as opposed to an offensive lineman, is because they don't want to draft a backup with the 10th overall pick. Is that kind of why you lean towards Brock Bowers? I have a hard time believing with all the injury concerns. I mean, Tyron Smith always misses time, that you wouldn't use that spot to get a tackle.
Well, I would trade out. I tried to put a trade together there, but I didn't really feel comfortable with who I'd have a team trading up and giving up picks to get. That was my issue. I could see Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold being a guy maybe the Eagles would trade up to get. So I could see going 10 to 22 and then getting a couple second-round picks because the Jets don't have a 2, right? So you could, if you want to move way down to 22 and say, okay, I could still get a Tali Fuaga maybe from Oregon State. I could still get a pretty good lineman at that point. I could get a Brian Thomas Jr. I could get an Xavier Worthy, an Adonai Mitchell. I can get a receiver at that point, right? So you could go that route and move off a 10 and get a couple second-round picks and then still get the receiver. You could get maybe an offensive lineman, Amarius Mims, a really good, potentially an outstanding offensive tackle league, but he's played only 8 games, and he's coming off an injury, but he's got a ton of talent. So you could get a guy like that. You could get Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. There's a way they could work it where it go from 10 to 22, and the Eagles have a couple second-round picks, guys. That's a way to get some extra draft choices. So I would say right now I would be surprised if the Jets stayed at 10. I think moving down is their best option. I just couldn't find a dance partner.
All right, so walk me through this. I don't want you to give me your analysis based on what you think will happen. I just want you to give me your analysis based on what you believe. Rank for me, in your mind, right now, quarterbacks 1 through 6 and how you have them ranked.
Well, I have them ranked this way. I've been consistent all the way through. It's obviously Caleb, Jaden, Drake, J.J., Nix and Penix are interchangeable. I'd like Nix a little bit better, but the durability is a concern. And Nix, there's the grows on you the more you watch him. And you talk to him. He's a great interview. I mean, that we had. He's a great kid. I mean, he's 24. He's a mature kid. He processes. He's accurate. He did great things at Oregon. I mean, he can move. Think about it, Bo Nix. It's underrated, guys. He ain't a statue back there. He's not a pocket. He can run. So that's why I say for Daboll, that Josh Allen, you got a guy here that can move around and can affect the game with his legs. So, again, Bo Nix is just this quarterback who sits in the pocket with his average arm and whatever. So I would say Nix and Penix interchange. I'm going back and forth on them. So that's the way I would go with the top 6. First 4, pretty locked in. Nix and Penix, I go back and forth on every day, but they basically have the same grade.
Are there any other quarterbacks that you think, Spencer Rattler or anyone, that could sneak up and end up in a second round? In the second round?
Rattler's interesting. Rattler has some guys that think he could be a third-round pick. I don't think second. I think you get into the third, fourth-round area for Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt from Tulane. I'll tell you, quarterback, there's quarterbacks, Keaton Slovis at BYU, moved around from USC to Pitt to BYU. Pratt from Tulane, all he does is win and elevate that program. But I think if you look at the guy who has kind of the arm talent, he just has to be more consistent and has to do a little times the better decision-making, it's Spencer Rattler. So if you want to roll the dice on some arm talent, Rattler, who at Oklahoma at one point in time looked like he could be a high pick before it just didn't work out there. Of course, he moved on. But Rattler would be the kind of the guy based on what he did this year at South Carolina.
I think you told us weeks ago, but this is weeks ago now, that you expect this to be an active trade market on draft night. Do you still stand by that? Are we going to see a lot of action trade-wise 2 weeks from today?
I think you'll see some trades. I don't know how many. I think that's impossible to predict, guys, on trades. But I hope you do, and I hope we have some shockers. You don't want a scripted draft. You don't want to sit there and know what you're getting on Christmas morning 5 days before Christmas, right, or a week or two before Christmas. You would like to be surprised by something. You might want to say, hey, I want this. I hope I get it. You get it. But you got about 5 or 6 other things that are surprising. So for me, that's the way I would attack this. Hope that it doesn't go as scripted. Hope that I think 1 and 2 are going the way we have it. I think that it's Caleb and Jaden. I don't know what New England's going to do. Drake May seems to be the best option, but you hear all kinds of things about J.J. McCarthy. New England kind of holds the cards as to whether this top part of the draft and the draft in general will kind of go against the grain a bit. New England, I think, is a key entity there. And then certainly at 5, if we get a trade involving the Chargers, that would shake it up a little bit. And does Minnesota, in fact, move in to get J.J. McCarthy or a Drake May? Say New England takes McCarthy. Then does Minnesota, you would think, Josh McCown coached Drake May in high school, they could move up. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see there. And then the Jets, do they take Bowers? Do they take the offensive lineman at 10? Or do they trade out like I suggest could happen? So I think it's going to be, do the Eagles move up to get the corner? What happens at the end of the first round? Does Penix or Nix, the teams feel the need to go into the late first to get one of those two? There's a lot of intrigue. If there's a surprise early, it throws everything out of whack.
I mean, the Patriots did have success with the Michigan quarterback. You never know. Mel, I should ask you this. I should ask you this. I should ask you this before, because you have Malik Nabers. So I know this is kind of where misinformation gets spread and everything else. But some of the stuff coming up about Malik Nabers, have you heard some of that stuff? You know, can't play in a big city, somebody off the field.
No, they call this week a kind of liar's luncheon. Everybody gets, what did we hear about C.J. Stroud this time last year? How'd that go?
He was dumb.
Yeah, we heard all this nonsense. It's all nonsense, a lot of things you hear. There might be a little bit of truth to some things you hear this time when any player could be any. Because medical comes out, interview stuff comes out, rubbed the team the wrong way in an interview, did this, did that. Ernie, of course, he told me a long time ago, sometimes it's best to go on vacation in April and come back a couple days before the draft. Because April is, like I say, they always call it the liar season, liar's luncheons take place. You're not getting much of the truth this time. They throw names out. You think you're working all year to let people know what you're doing? No. And you can't a lot of times trust people in the building, so you got to be careful what you say, because there's a lot of people talk. So again, this is a time of the year where I don't put a lot of stock in things like that. No.
All right, last one. And now this might be an unfair question, but I know you know everyone, so we have a lot of people that call in when we mention, you know, drafting a quarterback this year, sixth overall pick, whatever it ends up being, and they say, why would you do that now? You have so many needs, why not wait? What does the quarterback class potentially look like next season?
Well, Shador Sanders, Carson Beck at Georgia. Let's see how some of those transfers do. But those would be the two guys, Shador at Colorado and Carson Beck at Georgia, have the best chance. But, again, they're not in the league with these guys right now. They're not up there with a Caleb. But Jaden became that. Remember Jaden this time last year, was a fourth-round pick. Jaden went from fourth round just like Joe Burrow did. Went all the way up to number one after having not a high grade at all going into that final year. So sometimes surprises happen, but the chalk right now would be, like I say, Shador and Beck. But like I say, those two right now don't kind of excite you like we had with Caleb. They're not a Caleb Williams in 2022. Looked like he was going to be, one of the top quarterbacks of all time, kind of one of the highest grades ever. Then he had the late season struggles, but a lot of that was the bad offensive line and not having an elite receiver. So I still think Caleb is special. I really do. And Jaden kind of became that this year, just like Joe Burrow did.
All right. Excellent as always. We appreciate you. We know you're busy, but let's try to do this at least one or two more times before draft day, a couple weeks from today. Good stuff as always, Mel. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Have a great day, man. Thanks.
All right. There you have it. That is the great Mel Kiper Jr. Hey, I could talk to him for hours on end.
I had like five or six more questions.
Yeah.
I just want to pepper him about everything.
Because I want to know everything.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a good follow-up to the interview, Raymond. Well done.
Yeah. Well, Ray is...
He's got that disgusting sweatshirt on today, though.
What do you mean? I think it's a beauty. Ugh. He bought that with the gift card.
Not only did we beat you, we beat you up.
Beat us up.
And he's got the gall to wear that today.
You know what, Ray? Defend yourself.
It's very comfortable. I like this thing.
Beautiful.
What do you want me to say?
Not because it's
comfortable.
You're draped in defeat right now.
Because you're a Rangers fan. Listen, you guys are backing into the postseason.
Doesn't matter.
We've been living in the postseason. We're going to wind up
backwards.
As the one seed.
Doesn't matter.
How about this? How about we chat when we get into the playoffs and we start moving along? Chat.
I think it's nice that we get to see each other on Saturday.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think it's nice.
I can't wait.
Well,
ABC.
I hope Rempy starts like Jack the Ripper. Just everyone down.
We don't need that.
He'll do something dumb.
Whatever.
Get himself suspended.
Whatever.
Again.
Dobson will be like, you know, crying.
He's not going to fight Dobson.
Well, someone's
going to go
after.
Not going to fight Rempy.
Someone's going to go after Dobson.
You know, this whole thing is the Islanders' fault, by the way.
Of course it is, because they're dirty.
The whole thing started because of Matt Martin. Literally, the kid didn't.
Because Matt Martin had to go after Rempy.
Yeah, no, he was giving the kid a shot.
The kid literally hadn't skated a minute in the National Hockey League, and he says, hey, want to go? Let's go. And now look what's happened.
I think you kind of awakened the beast, although I think it's a dumb thing to do. Because you could have just quietly, Rangers not overly meaningful game on Saturday. Now they're going to be all dialed up for that game.
Of course they'll be dialed up. Yeah. I don't know if that was Adam Pellick's intent. Like, let me try to knock Mika out of this game.
I don't think it was.
Right, but the coach
said
the only person
I heard say that was LaViolette.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't hear anything from any player.
No, but I mean, not every fan, but a lot of fans, because that's what the coach said, that's what the fan base thinks.
Okay. Well, you don't have to have your head
the
right
last,
up the coach's rear.
I mean, the hit on
rear.
Trocheck was gross.
Gross.
Couldn't agree more with that.
Should he have been thrown out of the game for that?
Very dangerous. He didn't get a penalty.
Well, I know he didn't, but like it was so obviously missed. I can't even get over it. It was wild how blatant that was.
No, it's one of the biggest, for every hockey player, one of the biggest pet peeves. When you're facing the boards and you're that far away.
Because
you've seen plenty of people get their careers end that way. Like,
yeah.
That's how, I mean, Travis Roy's first shift caught a rut and went headfirst into the boards, and that was it. Like, that's the most dangerous play.
It was dangerous.
So that's why they got rid of the icing, the touch-up icing.
Because they don't want guys smashing
into the
boards.
Well, guys going full
like
speed, all of a sudden, you know, you reach for the puck, take his skates out, now he's going flying headfirst into the boards.
But don't you find it curious that LaViolette's the only person you've heard that has that viewpoint?
That's what I said to you the other day when we were talking about it. Unless he has an angle that we haven't seen.
But no one else has said that. I mean, Mika didn't come out and say anything. None of the players came out and said anything. It's just one guy. Say, yeah, oh, that was dirty.
And intentionally said.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Let's get to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Teddy in Babylon. Hi, Teddy. You're next up.
Well, good morning. Two quick points before I make my Yankee Soto thing. First is Happy Masters Week.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rick is definitely celebrating.
I almost wore my green blazer today.
That would have been nice.
Week of the year. Second point is that Pellick play was intentional.
How do you think it's intentional? Now, do you have an angle of the play where you can see Pellick look that Mika's coming? Because I haven't seen it.
Dude, he's at the red line, chicken winged out, embraced, waiting for Mika to come across.
Well, that's how you hold your stick, though. Right, I mean, that's how you would hold your stick. If I'm standing like that, my elbow is going to be out. His face didn't hit his elbow. He didn't lift his elbow up to clip Mika's face. Mika's face hit him directly square in the shoulder pad.
But if that was really unintentional, you don't think Pellick goes down at all? You think he stood himself like that? He didn't brace?
Well, no. I mean, listen, I don't know. I don't know how like what it feels like when Mika runs into my shoulder pad. But I mean, I'm assuming that Adam Pellick on his skates is pretty strong.
Right.
See, here's my point, though, Teddy. Why do you feel the way you feel? Because your coach said it.
I was going to ask you that. What, are you swayed by what the coach said? If LaViolette
no,
said
I'm actually,
nothing,
I'm biased.
I'm biased too. But in watching it in real time and then watching it on the replays, I guess I didn't see it in real time. I saw it only on replays. I didn't think that. And then you start to get swayed because the coach says that. But you know, I watched it over and over and over, and I'm sorry. I got to be honest. I did not think it was dirty. I think what Dobson did was filthy dirty. I didn't think this was dirty.
All right, well, it moved on. Game kept going.
Luckily, he's not going to miss time. That's the biggest thing. Luckily, he's not going to miss time. Then we hung up on him.
Well, yeah.
We got another point.
Wasn't me.
Well, I think it was done.
No. He had a Soto point, he said.
Oh.
And he also said, I'm unbiased. And you said, yeah, I'm also biased.
Oh, I thought he said, I'm biased.
No, I'm unbiased.
Oh. I thought he said, I'm biased.
To hammer home, that's why he thought there was no bias involved. He just thought it was a dirty play.
Okay. So, listen, I don't think it's crazy to think that's dirty.
Even if I had the overhead, And I noticed that Pelech took a peek behind him and saw that, you know, Mika was coming across the middle like that. And I want to put myself in a spot that if Mika's got his head down, he's going to run into me. Well, I mean, get your head up. Don't run into me. It didn't look like he went out of his way to chicken wing his face.
I didn't think so either. I thought it was a really unfortunate
and
play.
And I'm the one, I'm the same person that gave Rempe the benefit of the doubt because it looked like he was going into to brace himself and his elbow came out and clipped.
And I thought that was dirty.
And he got suspended for it.
But I mean, I am a Rangers fan, so I find the Islanders extremely unlikable. I don't think like they happen to be unlikable, but because I love the Rangers, I probably find things differently than some others would. But I did not think that was a dirty play.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I try to be honest. Like, I detest the Islanders.
I know you do. I can't stand the Rangers.
Who's your most hated team in all of sports?
I hate Pittsburgh. It might be the Penguins.
You hate the Steelers too, or just the Penguins?
No, I despise the Penguins.
Really?
Despise
most hated
them.
Team.
Hate them. Hate the Rangers. I mean, they're right there.
Right.
Interchangeable.
Cowboys, Eagles for me.
And Flyers.
How about football? You don't have a team that you hate to that extent?
No, it'd be hard. Like, I can't stand. I mean, I don't like the Dolphins. I'm not a big fan of the. I mean, I should be a fan of the Patriots growing up there, but I don't really like the Patriots either. But
can you imagine how different your life would be if you did go in that?
Well, that's
direction
my dad's fault though, because he wasn't a Patriots fan. No one I knew was like none of my family.
Because they were
real,
irrelevant. They were so bad.
Diehard
for so
Patriots
long.
Fans. And I told you my first uniform was Walter Payton when I was in Chicago.
That's awesome.
So if anything, I watched a little bit of him, but. Having been like played against those teams changes how you feel. Like that,
right.
I'm not gonna
yours is different.
There's no other team that's gonna reach that kind of hatred for me.
I hate the Cowboys, Eagles, ugh, Islanders.
What's it gonna be like when you see Saquon?
He's dead to me.
Ugh. If he runs wild on you,
he could.
Can we video that? Can that be your first ever?
My Instagram live,
first ever. You'll get it. You'll get so many people.
I
watching
don't like
that.
To. How about? If he dices up the Giants, I do a video after. Still heated from it. Mm. I don't want to go
what if,
live.
What if he gives Jalen a tush push? What if he does one of those?
I mean, what am I going to do? If he gives Jalen a tush push, whatever. If he runs wild, that would.
Yeah, I want to see that live though.
Would bother. Like yeah, but I don't know that that's going
to
happen.
You can't do it after the fact. You have to do it live.
But I'm not going to go live during the game. I don't want to do that.
Because I don't even want to see
look at the monkey behind the bars. I don't want to be that guy.
The one-way mirror, Dave.
But isn't that? I mean, that's the point, though. That's why people want to see it.
But I don't want to provide it.
I'm more interested in see how much like actual rooting against him you do. Not so much like the outrage of when he actually dices you up. It's like the
He's the enemy.
Because I mean, the one clip we play where it's like, no, get down, like just like the stuff that you're not even like, just that just
yeah,
comes
I just
to you.
I'm not focused on anything. But here's the thing:
nothing I can do. First down. Oh my God!
I remember that play distinctly. It was Week 17 against the Cowboys, and the Giants were up. I don't remember what the score was. All they needed was a first down. Gets the first down.
Wayne Gallman.
I'm like, that's it. Number 22, Wayne Gallman.
Nothing I can do. Oh, my God.
Right. Nothing, because he got the first down. That's nothing they can do now, meaning like we can take a knee and run it out. Get down because we don't need any more yardage. He fumbles it. Oh, my God. But he jumped on it. He recovered it. But you heard all the emotions in that one
soundbite.
That's
why I want to see it.
I'll make you a deal. You won't accept the deal, but
what's the deal?
I'll offer this for you. I'll go IG Live for one full hour of your choice.
Okay.
You guys would all have to agree with this. The naked photo shoot done. Gone.
Aw.
No, I can't kibosh that.
Come on.
What do you mean?
It's
I said you guys would all have to agree.
No, that's
with
already
this.
That's already done.
You guys can trade it in.
No, I couldn't get what I wanted done. I can't kibosh it now.
The wheels are already in motion.
Then you don't accept, that's fine. But I would offer
that the wheels are past motion
now. You can't do that.
Then don't accept it. That's fine.
I'm
offering that to you right now. Opening game, 1 hour. You watch me bounce around the living room and scream and yell. 1 hour.
Like, I feel like Juan Soto
tonight.
I want to swing and be the
hero.
I would do it.
I would make the trade, but I feel like that's out of my hands at this point.
Well, it's the three of you guys determine
it. And that's why he knows, and that's why he suggests it.
No, I'm willing to do that
for you guys.
Because
he's diabolical like that. He knows that there's no way we can...
He's no dummy. He knows what he's doing.
What do you mean? You guys can easily get out.
No, there's no way we can.
Why?
Because it's already done. It's past us. We've already passed that on to the people up... that are in charge of doing it.
I mean, ask John. So would you be interested in that? If they were like, yeah, that's fine.
I want the full game.
Full game?
Yep.
But herein lies the half.
Raise the stakes.
Herein lies the problem. I would offer you a half. But herein lies the problem. I can't be in charge of what I say. Like, I say stuff that's awful.
Yeah, that is kind of a risk we would be running.
I mean, I say stuff.
I think we need to think about it.
It's on the table.
It may be in your best interest not to do it.
Well, it's on the table for you.
And if I lose you,
it all falls apart.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ!
Yes, Dave.
Would you sign off on one half of me Instagramming live watching the Giants game and get rid of the naked photo shoot?
I would.
Uh-huh.
But I think you'd be fired as a result, so I can't allow you to do it. So therefore, I can't. I would, but I can't.
You think I would lose my job?
I think you would lose track. See, you'd be on your P's and Q's through, like, the first quarter.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, so there's a problem. So that we can't even do it. No, we can't even think
no,
about
it. But people would see me in my element. You'd be like, dancing. Like, there's no sitting. It's like, first you're jumping, your hands in the air, right? I mean, you go through all the emotions.
Your element is not made for society, though. There's a reason.
But I think that's why people want DNL Miguel Almonte says, God, would I love to watch Rothenberg watching the Giants.
I'm sure they would. We all would. We're not even invited. You told me if I came over on a Sunday the Giants were playing, you'd close the door in my face.
No, I wouldn't let you in.
Well, there you go. So
why would I let you in, though? I want to be by myself. Alex is allowed. That's it.
Wouldn't even give you the decency to close the door in your face. Wouldn't open it
I probably wouldn't open the door. Or I'd send you off with a dog. Like, here, take one of these dogs and go home.
So if someone were to watch you, this has got to be like a Derek Jeter at his compound kind of situation.
You have to check all your social media.
Yep, phones
no, but
in a basket.
See, that's the, I don't care about that. You can bring in your phone, whatever.
It's not them I'm worried about. It's what you're going to do.
Like I don't want you there in my space where I'm myself.
So if you stream it, though, that's like we're there. You're going to forget you're streaming or not care. And then it all comes unhinged.
Crumbling to the floor.
All of it.
But tell me you wouldn't want to see it.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
But we can't sell you out like that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every single industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. And when you stop on by, what might you say?
Hello!
That's right. The big hello. 1-800-919-3776. We are moments away from Nobservations and did it happen in Florida? But we have a lot of callers lined up. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey,
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Always enjoy when you have Kuiper on. And, you know, it's amazing over the years how these mock drafts have become so popular. And let's face it, nobody really knows nothing, especially when I see people putting out a half a dozen mock drafts. But I will say one thing, and history will tell it, will repeat itself. If they're projecting 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the first round or approximately first round and a half, probably four out of the 6 will be busts. You know, that's just the way it is. And which boggles my mind, because these guys do this for a living, the personnel people, and they spend 20 hours, 30 hours a day analyzing this. And you know what? All these guys are gifted athletes. I don't care what position it is. It's when you get to the NFL, it's what team drafts you, it's what coaching staff has you, and if you have the heart to take it to the next level or the ability. That's really what it comes down to. And as for the Jets, real quickly here, I'm really good either way. I would prefer the skill position player, but I'd be totally spooked if they pass on a tackle after the injuries last year, somebody goes down, and then they're left holding the bag like they did last year.
Yeah, I would be Here's the thing, Ira, is that there will be, it feels like the temptation is going to be there. I mean, every mock draft that we see, well, most, I would say 98% of the mock drafts that we see have Brock Bowers sitting there at 10 with the possibility of the Jets taking him. And a lot of them have the Jets taking Brock Bowers. I just, with all the injury concerns on the offensive line, understanding what this team turns into if the offensive line stinks, if Tyron Smith misses an extended period of time, I don't know how at 10 you don't address that.
But I think it's going to be enticing to go in. I think you're going to feel good about what they do because you're going to get a good player 10. Like you're going to either shore up the offensive line, you know, Fuaga, Fashanu, one of those guys, or you're going to get like Bowers or maybe even you stumble into one of the receivers. So I don't think you're going to be upset, but I think you will have the idea of, oh, we could have taken like offensive line's not sexy, but it's so important.
But it feels like that's all we talk about in this city.
Well, because these two offensive lines have been so bad for so long.
Right, but why can't your offense score points? Offensive line stinks.
Right.
Always.
Right.
So, I mean, if Tyron Smith stays healthy for a huge chunk of the season, yeah, great. You can't guarantee that. He always misses time. Morgan Moses is coming back from pec surgery. And you're going to, I mean, according to Mel's mock, the only offensive lineman taken before you pick a 10 is Joe Alt. That's it.
So you'll have your choice of any offensive lineman other than Joe Alt.
I think in a perfect world, he would probably want to trade down.
I think so, too. Because odds are, I mean, if you trade down to 14, 15, you should still be able to get one of those offensive linemen.
Right. At 13, he's got Fuaga going, and at 14, he's got Fashanu going.
Right. So if you trade down to, you know, 15-ish, you should be able to get one of those guys, you know, one of those really good offensive linemen.
Yeah, but Mel said, I mean, who is the player that teams are trying to trade up to go get? You mentioned the Eagles trying to get up to get
right,
the corner.
If nobody desires the pick, then there's nothing you can do.
And I'll say to Ira's initial point with the quarterbacks, when you look at these teams that are interested in drafting a quarterback, they're pretty good situations. Like whoever gets drafted, if Minnesota goes up to get a quarterback, that's a pretty good situation that quarterback's going into. Starting with the head coach, and then the offensive weapons.
Oh, I agree
on that team. Giants, I feel like is a good situation.
Well, because there's Denver, no rush to play the quarterback,
right? If Denver decides they want to draft a quarterback,
you got Sean Payton.
Having Sean Payton, the way the Bears have positioned themselves with all the talent they're going to have around Caleb Williams, they're going to be put in pretty good spot.
And you heard what Mel says about Caleb Williams; like he still wholeheartedly believes in him.
And if Penix gets drafted by the Rams, I mean, so you're talking. You're talking these quarterbacks going to a really good spot.
I think a good spot, too, because Stafford still has time left. McVay is an offensive genius.
You got Puka.
Nakua, you have Cooper Kupp, right?
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of
good
landing spots for the teams that look
Kyren
like they're going to take.
Kyren Williams is a running back?
Really good running back. Kyren Williams. RJ, you're more of the fantasy player than anybody else here besides me.
He's going to be at the top.
Would you not say that Kyren Williams is going to be a definite top 5 fantasy player next year?
He was amazing. He was amazing. They found him for nothing. I mean, the Rams rebooted their entire offense in an offseason when they weren't supposed to really be very good.
And gave the Lions all they could handle in the playoff game.
And you remember what we were saying about Matthew Stafford a year ago? We didn't even know if he could throw a football. And now he's got 2 number ones and a stud running back.
It's just so amazing about the draft. They landed a star receiver in the 5th round, right? It was the 5th round, Nakua? And we're talking about, are you going to spend the sixth pick? When you can hit home runs, that's how you win in this league. You hit home runs in like the middle rounds of the draft, because you got to figure you should be able to succeed with your first round
pick. He's a fifth round pick.
That's what I said.
Yeah. 177. 105 catches, almost 1,500 yards.
Remember, it's not like the Rams didn't even love him. They're just like, we've seen him and we like what he showed, and let's kind of take a flyer on this kid in the fifth round. Turns into that player.
Well, you can afford to do that in the fifth round.
Of course you can.
Sean McVay, and you got to figure out, I mean, Ed, what this kid's skill set, how does it fit into our offense? And
it does.
He'll fit
in any offense. He's awesome.
I don't know if people give Matt Stafford enough.
I agree with you. I was just thinking that, like, Matthew Stafford is going to be one of those guys that when you watch him play, yeah, he's good. And when he's gone, you'll realize, boy, he was really good.
You can make the case that he's at that top of that list of.
I think he's in the second non-Mahomes tier.
I'm not even going tier wise. I'm just saying natural throwers of the football. He and what he can do, because he can do all the same stuff that.
And I will tell you this, as far as the toughest guys in the NFL, he is right there.
Takes a beating.
He is, and he has for his whole career. Let's go to Shooter in Stamford. Hi, Shooter.
Good morning, boys. Morning, company. I agree with you. Stafford's tough as nails. We don't really appreciate him until he's gone. I thought of Elway, too, when you were saying that. Like, Elway was always good. He was solid, but there were better quarterbacks than him.
Oh, I don't know. Shooter, I don't know about that. Elway took teams that had no business going to the Super Bowl to the Super Bowl.
I would have been interested to see what Stafford was if he wasn't on the Lions.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think you're right with your Stafford point. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, Elway's one of the. Elway's a Mount Rushmore guy.
He went to five Super Bowls.
I understand that. He's another one of those guys, though. Baseball guys.
It was amazing. Right when he gave his body up at the end, that was still amazing. But my point was, and also, by the way, my wife said, I said with George Clooney, I wouldn't want my wife to have been with George Clooney because he had probably been with like thousands of girls. And my wife heard that on the radio. She was like, I would have been with his wife, Amali. That would have been better for me. And I was like, holy cow, did you just say that?
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a sports idea you'd like to get to, Shooter?
Yes, sports. You guys are talking about, you were talking about hating the Cowboys. And I was just like, who do I hate? Who do I despise? I'd like to know who you guys hate or despise, player or team. My most hated player is Reggie Miller for killing the Knicks when I was 15 years old. Jordan wasn't in the way. They probably may have won it. Houston won. I can't stand Reggie Miller. You guys go.
This is going to be very unpopular. I hated Michael Jordan. I hated. And that's why it pains me so much.
There's a lot of Knicks fans that feel that way.
He was so great. I loved watching him play. It's like he crushed me in every. I mean, I'm a Georgetown fan. He crushed me on Carolina. I'm a Knicks fan. He crushed me year after year with the Knicks. I hated Michael Jordan.
I hate Sean Avery. I mean, that's it.
That's your guy?
That's my guy.
Do you hate him personally?
I don't really know him personally.
But his antics on the ice.
Like
if there was
like one player, you can take I would feel good about taking a 10, 15, 20 game suspension on. Like that'd be like a, hey, money well spent. That would be.
See, our hatreds are, like, you have a hatred because like, you played against them hatred.
Yeah, fandom-wise, like, I chase out Leash to drive. Like, one of those guys, like, if he was on your team, you'd love him.
Right,
but playing
right.
against them, can't. Like, I'll never forget the when Matt walked down the mound and spit the dip spit at him.
Yeah, yeah.
They come get some.
I love that.
That was, like, one of my favorite moments.
Oh, it was great. You know the guy that I always think of when it's like, if he's on the other team, you hate him. If he's on your team, you love him. Ulf Samuelson was always that guy.
Claude
Lemieux
was that kind of guy too.
Right.
Remember that was one of
who did Claude
that
was, did he hit Chris
Draper from behind?
And he broke his jaw.
That's one of the best documentaries ever. I don't know if it was a documentary, but whatever it was. Well, we did that
like an E60 kind of thing.
I think we did it.
Well, you and I did it?
No, not us. I think our company did it. We did the Colorado Detroit rivalry.
Oh, look, the rivalry.
Oh.
They hated each other. That was so good. Wasn't that a real dirty hit though?
Yeah, he almost killed him.
Right.
It was from behind.
He broke his jaw.
Smashed his face against the boards.
That's not good. RJ?
Yes, Dave.
RJ?
Yes, Dave.
Oh, there you are. How you doing?
I'm here. How? Hi.
I feel like you've been working on observations in DHIF.
I have been, and I think this is a
This is a juicy one.
Oh, is that right?
There's some good stuff here.
Do you have a lot on the plate?
It's a full plate, Dave.
Okay. Then I don't want to stand in the
way. We got some breaking
way.
News, though, RJ. Breaking news.
Hold on a moment.
Boy.
Breaking news.
Oh, this, you know what? I see what he's going to go with.
Big
this
news.
Is breaking.
Jazz
break
hands.
Break it. You have the news voice. Do it in a news voice. I've got breaking news.
Yes.
Breaking news is the Masters opening round, scheduled to start soon, is now pushed back to 10:30.
Yes.
This morning. 10:30 this morning is when they will tee off at Augusta National.
Nice.
How's that?
You could spend the morning having a palmetto sandwich as you wait for them to tee off.
You could.
Very cheap palmetto sandwich.
Very inexpensive.
If players I'm intrigued by are alive palmetto sandwich.
It's almost like with a question mark at the end of it. Palmetto sandwich?
Palmetto sandwich you can make fun of. I was asking if the play. I was saying like if the players are alive come Sunday and I was just slowly getting through it and you guys cut it in the exact spot to make it sound like I was saying something terrible.
This year's Masters is going to be more like the Squid Games.
Like, if you're alive on Sunday, you win prize money. Just alive.
So the cut is actually like they kill you.
You're dead.
Yeah.
If players I'm intrigued by are alive.
Boy, could you imagine having
but there was more after that. You Tiger cut
Woods.
It.
No, Tiger wasn't. Woods gets taken out.
That was it.
Like, boy, the snipers on the course.
Boy, could you imagine?
Look out for 14, Johnny.
Having like a 17-foot putt on 18?
No, could to die?
On Friday?
Oh, my goodness.
How nervous would you be? If you make this shot, you live. If you miss this shot, you die.
And someone's just standing right behind you.
Right.
Oh.
That'd be... You talking about pressure pack now.
There's no chance I make that putt.
How about a 2-foot putt? You think you make a 2-foot putt?
No. At Augusta?
Yeah.
Deep breaths.
It'd have to be an uphill putt.
1 foot?
Yeah, I'd make the 1-footer.
You'd be nervous, though.
Oh, yeah. It happened to me. No,
what was the most nervous you ever were during a game?
Before the Olympics.
Like, terrified?
Yeah, it was bad. Like, almost full-blown, almost panic attack.
Really?
Yeah.
You ever throw up before a game?
Because I was nervous? No. Because I was sick, yes, not
well,
nervous.
That's different.
No, we'd play with guys. Cam Neely used to do it. I never played with Cam Neely.
Neely the one you told me every game he would throw up? That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it just felt like
preseason?
I don't know if it was preseason, but he just got himself
so worked up
that I guess it used to happen to him and then just became part of his kind of
It must
routine.
Be nice to like be that crazed and then take the ice and like have it settle down a little bit.
It's
like,
not great, though.
To be that crazed before
no,
the game.
No, because you don't. It's like you should look forward to the game. And my problem was I spent so much of the day being nervous about the game that
right.
I didn't enjoy the day. It's like I would dread those days.
What do you think day of the Super Bowl must be like for these guys?
Having to wait that long.
When you got to wait till 6 o'clock at night.
No. Be brutal. Brutal. I tell you this all the time. I have more respect for like the tennis players.
Because it's just them?
No, not only is it just them. Like you have like a match will start at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, because they don't know.
Right, you don't know, and I got to wait all day till 11 o'clock
at night.
Okay,
would you rather know that your game's going to start at 6:30 or not know exactly when it's going to start?
Know my game was going to start at 6:30.
So you would just want
to
define time.
Well, I have to have, dude, you're talking about someone that would have to the second when I would go take a pee or when I would eat or when I would sleep. Can you imagine what I would be like if I didn't know when the match was going to start?
It's like there's a women's match at 7:30 and then we don't know.
That'd be a disaster.
You could play at 8:45.
Disaster.
You could play at 10:45. Disaster,
I would make it.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.